Hey everybody, welcome back to the Playback Podcast. My name is Noah. I'm joined here by a good friend of mine, Hyder.
Hello.
And this is episode 8 of the Playback Podcast, where we talk about movie news and film reviews. Or wait, what's the fucking film news and movie reviews? There you go. So yeah, we have a pretty packed show today. We are talking some Mario. That's going to be our main review today. And then I also watched Air. So we're going to be reviewing a little bit about that. We also got some questions from you guys, some movie news, and Hyder wanted to start the podcast off by talking about a new TV show starring Ali Wong and Steven Yeun called Beef. It's on Netflix. What is it, like 10 episodes? Yeah. 10 episodes, 13 episodes, something like that.
Directed by Jake Schreier.
Yeah.
A24 production, so I already knew it was going to be like the very least decent, like decently like cinematography-wise,
right.
Acting would be good because of the actors in it. I did not think I was going to like the show as much as I liked it, though. That, it was comedic, it was sad, it was just so good to watch. And it was refreshing to watch a show where both the main characters weren't just straight-up good people, like, you had to root for them. No, those were some fucked-up characters. And it, like, deals with, like, generational trauma and, like, trauma from family and, like, backing yourself into a corner and then like blaming everybody. It was just a lot of guilt and stuff too. Mm. It was just cool to see.
If you had to just do a one sentence summary of what the show is really about, what would you say?
It's like that moment in life where you finally have the boiling, boil over, where everything in your life is going wrong, and then just boom, that last event just sends you off the cliff. Okay. That's all it is.
Yeah, man. I definitely need to start watching it. My dad started watching it. I think he's on like episode 6 or something. But I wanted to check it out. I thought it was a movie when I first heard about it, but I guess it's a series on Netflix. So if you guys have time, go ahead and check that out.
Yep.
I will check back once I actually watch the project. So give me some time. I really slack on watching stuff on streaming, so that's going to be a task for me. Something I did not slack on, though, watching, was the new Ben Affleck-directed movie, Air, which is the story of the Air Jordan 1, the sneaker that basically revolutionized all sneakers going forward. And obviously, it's Michael Jordan's signature shoe. So I was able to watch that, and I just want to talk about it real quick. Are you even going to watch it?
Probably not to his like platform.
Like a streaming or something? This is definitely one of those movies, and it's going to sound weird when I say it, but it feels like one of those movies that you're clicking through your premium movie channels at night and you find this and you don't know what it's about, but you just keep watching anyway. It's one of those movies. It's a great directed movie by Ben Affleck. I've never seen, this is my first movie that I've seen of his, and well, directing wise, obviously, but he's also in it a little bit as Nike CEO Phil Knight, which is pretty cool. He plays a little bit different character, and I liked it, man. I think all the performances, this is a stacked cast. You have Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Chris Tucker, Marlon Wayans. You have Jason Bateman, who I thought he would have a small role. He's actually one of the, you know, like main characters in this movie. And the basic plot of this is just, obviously it has to do with the Air Jordan 1, the making of the Air Jordan 1. And really, it's the revitalization of a company. Because before this, if you guys didn't know, Nike was not successful. They were like not even looked at as a top 3 shoe company at the time. They were mainly just there for running shoes. And their biggest endorser, I believe, was Bruce Jenner at the time. So they really didn't have any basketball knowledge until they got into the game with Michael Jordan, and that just literally skyrocketed their business. And that's what the story is about. But it's really about Matt Damon's character, who is like this gambler. He takes high risks, and you know, you follow this guy through it because he's looking so desperately for a win, and he believes in Michael Jordan that he's going to get him that win. And it's basically just a huge underdog story of the entire Nike company, and how they started up and how they got so huge, especially in the sneaker business. Because after Air Jordan came out, now everybody's getting their own signature line, right? And then even after that, Viola Davis is in this as well, playing Michael Jordan's mom. And she was fantastic as well. So great movie, great writing. You would love the soundtrack in this. All 80s movies and perfect like song placement. It's honestly amazing. I gave it like a 9.5 out of 10 only because I think that the last leg of the movie kind of suffers a little bit because it's got to wrap stuff up really quickly. But other than that, man, if you guys have the chance, or even if you just want to wait on streaming, it doesn't matter. Just watch the movie because it's so good. And I was really happy that I was able to watch it. So, but with that down, what do you say we get into some movie news?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some movie news. And we're basically going to be talking a lot about Star Wars. So
yeah, over the last week, like I think right after Episode 7 dropped, a bunch of Star Wars news happened. There was a Star Wars celebration, which is usually in May. So it was kind of weird that it happened in April this year. But a lot of shit got confirmed. A lot of like release dates came out. But yeah, I just want to go ahead and talk about some of the confirmed projects that are coming out. We already knew about this one, but there's a Vision Season 2, Star Wars Vision Season 2. It's sort of like their animated like episodes. Usually every episode is directed by somebody else. What I can remember from Season 1 was a few of the episodes were really, really good, but everything else was just like okay.
That kind of reminds me of like Marvel's What If.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of just like some separate stories. A lot of anime-focused or anime-inspired art in there, so...
Then there's a Taika Waititi movie still, you know, confirmed. It hasn't come out yet. No release dates, really anything about it has come out. James Mangold, which I know you tweeted a lot about, got confirmed to do a movie, which is going to be about the older Republic and like the birth of the Jedi and the birth of like the Force and how all that shit happened. And then this one, I think, is so far the most controversial stuff that's come out, is Charmin Obaid Chinoy will direct movies with Rey in them set 15 years after the last movie. So a sequel to the sequels.
Yeah, man. Okay, so I'll get back to the controversial one in a second. I want to talk about I want to talk about James Mangold real quick because that one is insane. Now, James Mangold, if you don't know, he's directed movies like Walk the Line, which is the Johnny Cash biopic starring Joaquin Phoenix. He directed one of my favorite movies of all time, which came out in 2019, quite literally the greatest movie for movies, or the greatest year for movies, which was Ford versus Ferrari, very underrated. And then, obviously, he's directed probably one of the best comic book movies of all time, Logan. And he's described this movie as a biblical epic movie. Set, like you said, what was the time frame?
This would be at the birth of, like, the Force.
Yeah, so it's very, very, very early, about 25,000 years before the original movies. And I just got to say, you know, aside from the directing choice, I just love what Star Wars is doing now. They're setting stuff in this universe because it is a universe, right? They're not sticking to, like, the timeline of the movies that we've seen already, you know? So they're not just going 15 years after the sequel, or they're not going 30 years before Return of the Jedi, which they're doing with like the Mando stuff. They're going 25,000 years back in the past. So they don't have strings tied to anything. They can basically just come up with whatever they want. It's a clean slate, and you got a really good director helming it. So that's what I'm really excited for. But why do you think the Rey Skywalker movie is controversial right now? What do you think?
Well, I mean, everyone... consensus, like, overall for the movies, everyone hated the sequels. It's controversial because the type of director that we just got is already one that's, you know, faced some controversy. The Rey storyline itself was like all fuck types of fucked up because every movie was a different director.
The first and the third were the same director.
Okay, yeah.
Last Jedi was Rian Johnson,
and that one got a little bit more love than the other two.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Yeah. It's very mixed.
Yeah.
I'll say this: the sequels are very mixed within Star Wars fan bases.
Just that stuff, and then like the potential of what they now just unlocked, because this would be the first thing outside of the Skywalker like story.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the first official thing outside of that.
Yeah, because they called the nine movies the Skywalker saga. So then now what? Like, are they gonna call this Episode 10? Or are they just going to do their new thing?
Yeah. So it's just because they're deciding that they're going to make this like a whole universe, which it already was before. It was before all of these stories, it already was a universe. There was already lore from behind and like visions of the future. But potential to bring in some of the like the characters from shows that they have now. Because if we're aging this correctly, and this has already been talked about but like on Twitter that I've seen a few times, if they're aging everything correctly, Yoda, Baby Yoda from Thing, Grogu is going to be in his 90s. Mm-hmm. And for his race of people,
it's like prime.
That's when Yoda became a Jedi Master. Yeah. But the difference is he doesn't want to be a Jedi. He's already decided to be something else. Mm-hmm. Spoilers for people who haven't watched The Mandalorian, sorry.
One thing that's really interesting to me is that, you know, Daisy Ridley, who I think wasn't even the problem for any of those movies. She was fantastic. It was the writing and the direction. But I'm surprised that she even wanted to come back. She's been very public. The entire like main cast of the sequel trilogy has been very public with the fact that, you know, they don't really know what their character are. They're not very happy with how they turned out. So I'm really interested in you know, how, first of all, what she's going to be doing and how she's going to be acting throughout this movie. And I'm assuming it's going to be, there's going to be sequels to this movie also.
Yeah.
But I also want to know if like Oscar Isaac or John Boyega would come back, because those are pretty pivotal characters and it's only 15 years in the future, so they could be together.
I'm pretty sure John Boyega in an interview somewhere said he would never come back for a movie.
That sucks too, because they, he's such a great actor.
He hates them.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
There's
either.
Actually a plot line for the movie I forgot to tell you. It's set 15 years after and she's trying to restore the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Which is, if you watch the last movie, and this is like an iffy thing in the Star Wars universe, mm-hmm. lightsaber colors mean something to some people and don't to other people.
She had orange, right?
Yellow.
Okay. I'm colorblind.
It's okay. Yeah, I know. She had a yellow lightsaber and that meant protector of the Jedi Temple.
Mm.
So...
What's your thing?
Yeah, it meant protect. Like yellow in some of the stories means protector of the Jedi temples, so it kind of adds up with that storyline if they wanted to follow it off like the lightsaber color that she got.
Yeah,
and you know how she's Rey Skywalker.
She's not Rey Skywalker, bro.
I know. I'm just
Man, dude, I hated that movie so much. Rise of Skywalker was so trash.
I've seen worse things, but it was pretty bad.
It just the fact that this is your last movie in a saga. Okay, I'm never mind. I'm
yeah.
Not gonna,
all right, so let's go.
Go ahead.
Let's get past that stuff. This is just announcements for the movies. Nothing really come out like that yet. Mm-hmm. There's a couple new shows in Skeleton Crew and The Acolyte and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into Skeleton Crew and Acolyte a lot deeper. But I want to talk about Ahsoka for a little bit. I don't know if you ever watched the show Star Wars Rebels.
I know this. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, it's considered one of the best, in my opinion, like one of their best shows, outside of like the Clone Wars, I think, and maybe Bad Batch, if people liked it that much. But I like Rebels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The characters from the Rebels are already been like teased in like other projects, like in The Mandalorian. You get this one character who's his name's Garazeb. You get to see him they confirm him.
Yeah. The CGI on that looked really good, by the way, too. I saw that on Twitter.
It's because of how deep that fan base is. It was like on Disney XD too, so it was like when Disney first like got a hold of these things.
See, and that's the thing that I love about Star Wars right now is that they're pulling characters from different lores. They're not just pulling them from the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a huge universe. So I mean, I'm glad they're finally doing something with it, but go ahead.
So the important thing about this is Ahsoka is not the only Jedi at the time. We have, you know, obviously got this confirmed multiple times. There's different Jedi. Mm-hmm. One of the first ones to get announced was Ezra Bridger, who's going to be in the show, and that's who they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it also brings in what's considered one of the best villains in all of Star Wars, Admiral Thrawn, played by, it's one of the Skarsgårds, I think. No, who is it?
I can look.
I'm pretty sure it's one of the Skarsgårds.
He just got announced, like, fully. It's the same guy who played him.
Lars Mikkelsen. Yeah. Sorry, that's what it was. Not Skarsgård's Mikkelsen's. Yeah. It's the other Mikkelsen's brother.
Mm.
Mads Mikkelsen, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's Mads Mikkelsen's brother. Mads Mikkelsen. Sorry. I just need like European fucking families.
So what's really interesting about like the Star Wars stuff again is that they're pulling from different lore. And this is the same guy, Lars Mikkelsen. He's the same guy who voiced the original. So
and he actually kinda they designed him to kinda look like him too. That's going to be cool to see. And then we have Andor Season 2. And then finally, another one that got some controversy is Dave Filoni Mandalorian movie, which pisses everybody off, and I understand why, but I also don't really care.
Why do you think it pisses people off?
Because of the way the show started and the reason it got so much fame. This was disconnected from everything else.
I seen that, but then at the same time, when the show got announced, you have to see this coming. It's successful, and they found ways to tie things in. So, like, if you can find a good way to tie things in, why wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying? So, The Mandalorian, right? That takes place what?
In between stories.
Yeah. Return of the Jedi and the Empire Strikes Back. So you have this little window of time where you can see people pop back up, and you can see like storylines that you haven't seen before in that little period of time. So if it works, it works. I mean, look, nobody's complaining about Ahsoka being casted live action or becoming a new character in this, what do you call it, in this universe, this live action universe. But you can't pick and choose, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be happy that they're introducing Ahsoka, but then also turn around and be like, yo, like, Mandalorian was supposed to be standalone. Okay, but you weren't saying that when Ahsoka wasn't introduced, right? Mm-hmm. And they just have a lot of leg room to do whatever they want. So I feel like if they have the opportunity to, you might as well just do it.
Yeah. The thing is, people are complaining now, but they weren't complaining when, again, spoilers, if you haven't watched it, this has been a while. But, like, Luke Skywalker made a cameo.
Right.
Ahsoka Tano makes a cameo in, like, one of the shows. Mm-hmm. Boba Fett makes a cameo. Mm-hmm. Cad Bane makes a cameo. Mm-hmm. All these characters, like, did you not think that they were connected to the universe?
Yeah.
You have...
Zeb, you just...
Yeah, Gary Zeb, yeah.
Like, everybody was talking about how amazing it was that they brought him in. So you can't pick and choose, man.
Yes, it's going to be connected. He is... Grogu's a Force user. He is, which was trained for a little bit to be a Jedi. Mm-hmm. He's a Mandalorian. You can see the way it's going. Like, it's just, there was no avoiding this. It was going to be connected eventually.
Right. And how do you feel about it being a movie culminating every, like, this storyline that they've basically introduced in Disney Plus shows? How do you feel about it being a big movie?
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's a way to get money. And if you care about the Star Wars universe, you want more money for their universe.
Yeah. And I promise you, if these new upcoming shows that tie into the culmination of all this, if those are successful, you better be damn sure that this, I'm just going to call it the Mandalorian movie. You better be damn sure that this movie is going to be, like, insanely successful. Like, more than $1 billion, most likely.
Yeah.
So.
It's just annoying that it's most fan bases, but specifically Star Wars fan base does this shit. Like, where they're so happy with the project, one thing goes wrong that they don't like, and they want to burn it down.
Mm.
They don't give shit a chance.
Like The Last Jedi, that's what a lot of people were saying.
I mean, it's like, it's already been seasons, like episodes of The Mandalorian that they don't like, that they're like, oh, George Lucas wouldn't like this. Motherfucker, have you watched anything with George Lucas? You're
talking about Lizzo and Jack
Black. Yes, yeah. Like, that shit gets me so mad, especially because it's like, it's Jon Favreau, it's Dave Filoni, it's Bryce Dallas Howard. People who have shown how much they care for Star Wars shit.
Yeah.
They're understanding the story a lot better than you are, obviously.
And again, the first two seasons, nobody was saying anything to Jon Favreau, but now... Season 3 is like a little bit mixed on the reviews, and they're like, yo, Jon Favreau has no idea what he's doing. It's so recency bias. It's really bad. I'm kind of glad that I'm not like a huge fan of Star Wars. That way I can just kind of look at the projects and not really give a fuck like that. But I don't know. You're definitely way more deep into the lore than I am. So
yeah. So the thing that I like the most about the Mandalorian show, like, potential for their movie, is that since there is a continuation movie now going, they can, if they want to, make Ezra Bridger a Jedi in that movie, make Grogu a Jedi in that movie, make all these characters they haven't shown us yet, really, characters in that movie, to like create another like Jedi universe, create another like Sith issue. If they want to, they now have the tools to do it. So the fact that people are complaining about a Mandalorian movie and about shows getting certain types of episodes, you're building everything that wanted to happen. The universe crashed. It became like singular with the Mandalorian universe. It's back.
They found a way to open it back up.
Yes.
Why would you be complaining?
All right. Now let's get into the actual shows. I want to get to some details about Skeleton Crew and The Acolyte, because I didn't talk about a lot. Let's just talk about Skeleton Crew right off the bat. It's show creator John Watts spoke about it a little bit. It's about it's similar to like the old movies, like the golden era of movies, like the Goonies and stuff, for a kid, like Kid Adventures. Mm-hmm. It's about kids. They're getting chased around by an alien, and they get taken over. They get taken under the wing by a Jedi, and his name, it's Jude Law playing the Jedi. I don't know exactly where it's set, like what time period it's set in, but I do know the directors, and they're fucking stacked as directors in this show. You get the Daniels. You already know what they're from.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Yep.
Yep. You get Bryce Dallas Howard, which again directed many episodes of Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. He's a massive Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. You got Lee Isaac Chung, Minari. Mm-hmm. You get Jake Scherf from Beef. So yeah, that's why I wanted to mention him earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
David Lowry, The Green Knight, and then obviously the show creator John Watts, who, if you don't know who he is, it's the director for the MCU Spider-Man.
And also, John Watts left the Fantastic Four to helm this Star Wars project. So this is pretty, I guess, near and dear to his heart. He seems like he's going to put his heart and soul to this. And if you're leaving a project like Fantastic Four for, you know, a Star Wars TV show, I'm pretty sure we're fine, you know. And like you said, the directors are insane for this project, and I'm still really excited. They said that it was kind of inspired by like a sort of E.T. Feeling show, Stranger Things kind of show. And it's definitely a coming of age story. So, you know, I'm excited for it.
Yep. And it has a release date of 2023. So we will be seeing it this year.
Hopefully, man. Yeah. Hopefully nothing gets pushed back.
All right. And then I've got to mention it. Ahsoka is coming out August 2023. So you'll be seeing all like the live action people. If you watched Rebels growing up, you'll finally get to see them live action. I've already seen two of them, but you'll get the actual characters now.
Do you think Anakin is going to come back in that?
He won't be Anakin in it, but yeah. I think he's already he came out for this like celebration. So I think he's for like the rest of like the movies, if they want to, he'll be playing Darth Vader in live action movies.
I like him, man. Not a great actor in my opinion, but still I like him. He loves that character, so.
So what I respect the most about Star Wars universe and like all the people is they always like where they fucked up, they've tried to fix.
Yeah. And they don't like pivot right when things get bad.
Yeah.
You know, they literally just like stay the course. That's why you got the prequel trilogy like that, you know? It was George Lucas's one. That's my fucking problem with Star Wars, man. Even though I haven't watched all of the prequels, which I still got to do, sorry. But even though I haven't watched all of them, I know for a fact that that is a continuous story that George Lucas wanted to tell. 1, 2, and 3 all lead into each other. You cannot say the same thing for the sequels. Force Awakens, it's basically A New Hope, right? Last Jedi, they tried to do something different. The fucking fan base was split, and they're like, oh god, they didn't like it. Let's get J.J. Abrams back to direct Rise of Skywalker. Oh shit, Palpatine's back. Somehow we don't know. He's back. Rey is a fucking Palpatine. Fucking Rey and Ben actually have this romance that we didn't build up to in the entire fucking. It's so stupid, and they missed so many opportunities with that fucking sequel trilogy. I hate it so much. The Rise of Skywalker, not the entire trilogy, but
all right. Where was I?
I don't know, sorry.
All right, I was
talking about Acolyte.
Yeah, so Acolyte also, I don't know if you know who Sadiq Bey is, but he finally got a redemption, and I love that.
Hey guys, this is Noah editing the podcast here. Just want to let you know that Sadiq Bey is actually a NBA small forward for the Atlanta Hawks basketball team. And Hyder believes that he is playing a Jedi in Star Wars. Just want to put that out there. Okay, anyway, bye. See you guys at the end of the episode. Bye.
Sadiq Bey?
Yeah.
On nah, the Hawks?
I'm fucking tripping.
On the Hawks?
Sadiq Bey's a fucking Hawks player. I was watching basketball earlier. It's Sadiq something.
Yo, put the mic on.
Yeah. Sorry, let me search up his name.
I was like, he dropped 30?
Tripping. Different Middle Eastern name. Sorry. Ahmad Best. That's who it is.
I think it's Sadiq. Oh, yeah. Fucking
Jar Jar Binks.
Sadiq Bey.
I was thinking. I was playing 2K earlier. That's what it was. Okay. I was getting clamped by Sadiq Bey. It's stressful. I'm sorry. But yeah, Ahmad Best. Like, he got a redemption, and I was very happy about that. So he gets to play a Jedi now. I don't know. I don't really know in what capacity, but he'll be a Jedi. All right, so the Acolyte, they have some good-ass directors, too. Mm-hmm. You get the show director, Leslie Headland, Alex Garcia Lopez for Daredevil, and then Kaganata. I can't pronounce their name very well. For After Gang. It's an 8-episode series, and this is going to be something I think you'll like a lot because it's not in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in the time of the High Republic, which was one of the weakest points for the Sith. And it's set from a Sith perspective.
Did you hear what it's like inspired by?
Frozen meets Kill Bill?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, just that one little tagline got me hooked on the show.
So I know two of the people in it. I know that Lee Jung-jae is in it. He's uh-huh. one, the main actor in Squid Game.
Uh-huh.
And that...
Carrie-Anne Moss from Matrix.
Oh, Carrie-Anne Moss, yep. Yeah. And then I think hopefully it's pronounced Jonas. Tsutomu is also in it.
Who's that?
That is the actor for Chewbacca.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. And so they're both playing Jedi Masters, meaning that we get to see for the first time in live action a Wookiee Jedi. Because he's playing a new Wookiee Jedi Master.
I did see that. Yeah, yes. I did see that.
All right. So it's about... that's what it pretty much is. It's just a set from the Sith perspective of mm-hmm. like how the High Republic was. And that's another thing that people want to see. They want to see the Old Republic, the High Republic. They want to see the birth of the thing. Star Wars is doing what fans have finally wanted for a really long time. So seeing people complain about the shit is crazy.
Yeah. Like I said before, man, I love that the fact that they're splitting stuff up. So you got a project in the very beginning, and then, you know, 25,000 years. You have one set after the sequel stuff, 15 years after the sequel stuff. And you got some stuff in between, and you also got stuff with The Mandalorian. So they got a bunch of stuff. They got a bunch of projects that, you know, I don't understand why fans can't just be happy the fact that they're, you know, even getting more stuff. Like, it was what? 15 years ago that you guys didn't even know that you guys were going to get a sequel series. Mm-hmm. And then you guys finally got a sequel series, you know? So, and plus the projects that they've been putting out, it's not like they've been shit. I mean, I didn't like Obi-Wan that much, but like, dude, you got Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor back.
Yeah.
I don't get why people are so mad about this stuff, but is that all the Star Wars stuff we got?
Yeah. I just wanted to finish it off with Acolyte has a release date of sometime in 2024.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so at Star Wars Celebration, they showed off a bunch of trailers, a bunch of posters and stuff like that. They brought out a numerous amount of stars. And the future of Star Wars is huge, man. I think that I definitely got to get a little deeper into the lore because I'm excited for a lot of these projects. And I'm not even that big of a fan of Star Wars. So I don't even know what you guys are thinking in your minds right now. But very excited for it. What about you?
I always think about things from like the way I think about like Avatar Last Airbender. I don't give a shit what they're producing. The fact that I'm getting new things.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's exciting for me. Like, I get to watch... Well, me specifically because of how much I loved Rebels. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited that I get to see them in person. Or in person. Like, live action. Mm-hmm. I get to see, like, Sabine and Ezra Bridger for, like, the first time live action. We already got, like, a bunch of, like, the Mandalorians and the Mandalorian. Got to see Hayden Christensen play Darth Vader. Like, I'm not pissed at all. I'm not upset at anything. Obviously, some things could have been better. Again, this shit was not supposed to happen.
It was not supposed to happen, yeah. Just be grateful that you guys are even getting anything, you know? It's coming from a Marvel fan, too. Like, I didn't even... Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, all right, man. Let's move on into some other movie news. Basically, just a huge one. I mean, you know, Super Mario Bros. Scored big at the box office. What'd you say the total was? Like,
so 370-something? 204 million about that domestic, 170 international for a grand total of $375,579,730.
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. I was tweeting about it all week. Keep in mind that this is a 5-day box office, so box office weekend. So, you know, they had a little bit of an advantage, but come on. I mean, like, it's Super Mario Brothers. Everybody's going to go watch this. It's an animated kids movie. Well, it's still like spring break time, right?
Yeah, it's the back end of spring break right now.
So, yeah, absolutely crazy. I know that, you know, work was crazy for Hyder every single day. Every time there's a kids movie, work is miserable. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine what you were going through. But, yeah, man, $377 million. What do you think the final box office tally is going to be?
I think they'll play somewhere near like $750.
Really? Mm-hmm. You think it's going to slow down that much?
Yeah.
Especially overseas?
Because they already announced the streaming service date for it.
Yeah, but, I mean, still.
I mean, I think that I think that if they push back the streaming dates, because like that's what the main issue with things dropping off is that people will wait for it to get onto a streaming service.
I mean, I guess it's more of a like, do you want to go watch it again in the theaters already? Yes. And then like it's a word of mouth thing also. So I think, you know, with the fact that this is an hour and a half and a lot of people love Mario, I think that people will go back to see this, you know, like multiple times.
I think so. Here's the breakdown on the numbers that like you don't get to really see unless you work at a movie theater. What most people don't know is every theater that has multiple theaters, they've forced us who only have 10 theaters at our location to play 6 different screens of it. And for an hour and 30 minutes, that's like fucking 40 movies a day. So that's the reason that it's doing so well. Is because I'm assuming that means that for every other theater, they're also doing the same thing where they're making them play it on multiple screens.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to even put more context into it, John Wick is coming on its, what, 3rd week already?
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons didn't do that well in the first place. Air was a very small movie. That won't even make back its budget. And I think like 6th or 5th on the list now is Scream 6. So that's not doing anything. It's been like a month now. So this movie is basically all by itself, coupled in with the fact that it's a kids movie, coupled in with the fact that it's a huge IP. I think it was a no-brainer that this was a success.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the highest grossing video game movie of all time, or opening weekend.
Personally, I think it's going to be over a billion already. Here's why. Because the overseas market, you cannot underestimate. And, you know, people overseas, they love watching movies twice, multiple times. And again, man, even the Asian market, I know it's going to be fucking crazy because, like, they love Mario over there. It was really birthed there, you know? So, yeah, I think that it's going to go over a billion for sure. I was a little skeptical at first because I didn't know, number one, with the Rotten Tomatoes score, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but I didn't know that it was going to even be this successful because Rotten Tomatoes put it at a 56%. 56% of people actually enjoyed the movie. So, yeah.
What did I tell you? What did I say?
No.
He sent me the Rotten Tomatoes score, and I immediately replied with, "This is a good sign."
That has nothing to do with the fact that they made money.
No, I did this. I caused it.
Oh, God. I fucking hate this, man. But yeah, man. So, obviously, a box office success. It's huge everywhere. And I think that's what she said. And I think that it's just going to get even bigger. That's what she said. Over a billion, hopefully. But we watched the movie over the weekend. And we have some thoughts. Now, keep in mind, at the heart of it, I like to look at movies as like a film, as a movie. And then I also look at it as like, did I have a good time? So here's how I would describe this movie. And I'm going to let you get into it right after. So I think for me, it was a very fun movie. I loved the animation. I loved the comedy in it. The performances were surprisingly very, very good across the board, except for Seth Rogen. Didn't really like Seth Rogen that much as Donkey Kong. But across the board, everybody else was perfectly fine. Chris Pratt, he wasn't at all annoying as people thought he was going to be. And I think that when it comes to a movie like this, especially with the studio Illumination, who are behind movies like Sing, Sing 2, Despicable Me stuff, they're doing even more stuff now. My expectation for the story was, you know, high, because they make good movies with a good story, even to the point where, you know, you have, yeah, Illumination didn't make this movie, but you have movies like Puss in Boots: The Last Wish with a fantastic story. Like, honestly, that was like a 10 out of 10 movie for me. Coupled in with all the amazing visual effects and performances and stuff, I think Super Mario Brothers has that, just doesn't have the story. And I think that's what really caught my eye for it. Now, everything was fun. The references, the music, which I know Hyder loved. The soundtrack was great. Performances was great. The animation was great. Runtime, hour and 30 minutes. You know, that's great. I just really think that the story was too simple. And I feel like they could have just made a good story out of this. It shouldn't. The dynamic between Mario and Luigi was great too. I just wanted them to go a little deeper into it. You know what I'm saying? Again, look, that's just me reading too much into it. If you really want to, I mean, look, I had a lot of fun in this movie. I was watching it with my son. He was eating that shit up. He doesn't understand any of it, but he was eating that shit up as an 8-month-old, you know what I'm saying? So just the fact that I even had fun with a Mario movie and, you know, everything was great. And in the beginning, I'll say I was a little harsh. I gave it like a 6.5. It's not 6.5. I'll say like an 8, okay? Because the story for me, like we said a couple weeks ago or maybe like a week ago, the story is what really makes a movie perfect to me. It just didn't have a story. But everything else was great in this. If it had a story, this movie would probably be like a 9 or a 10 for me personally. But for right now, it's going to sit at an 8 out of 10. It will not be making my playback Hall of Fame. So what'd you think?
Yeah, all the same things you said pretty much. The only thing I really disagree with about is I didn't mind the story as much as you didn't like it or wish there was more of a story. For me, it was just how fast the movie felt bothered me a lot. Mm. Because like you said, Puss in Boots 2, 10 out of 10 movie, right? Mm-hmm. It was only 10 minutes less than that movie. I felt like they could have fit like a little bit better paced into it. It just felt like it was really rushed. Like, their relationships were never built properly.
I agree, yeah.
Like, how did Toad trust Mario right off the bat? Like,
yeah,
Peach and then just Peach runs into Mario literally right off the bat.
Yes, yeah.
DK just accepting, like, losing like that. Mm-hmm. The fact that they just walked into a different kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then the one, like, specific thing that I felt they could have just slowed down in between the Donkey Kong Kingdom and, like, leaving Mushroom Kingdom, mm-hmm. it was a literal slideshow. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was like, they could have shown a little bit more of that stuff. It just, like, that was the only issue I had with it. But because that's, like, such a, like, a big thing to me, I can only give it, like, a 7 out of 10. But the color grade for it was amazing. Like, the fact that, I don't know, I feel like animation studios have a harder time with, like, keeping the color from, like, video games and, like, involved in the story. Like, the shit being super colorful. It's Mario. It's gonna be fucking pink, red, blue, all this extra shit. There's a rainbow road. So the fact that they didn't, like, dampen the colors was, like, a good choice, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the little aspects of, like, people who've played Mario growing up, like, with, like, you know, like, he wasn't a main character, but King Boo at the wedding. Like, just seeing him there was cool. You know, like, little fire flowers, changing outfits and stuff. Like, when you get a new power-up. Just shit like that was cool.
All the Mario stuff was great. I mean, mm-hmm. like, from the games, from all the lore, and, like, they even referenced some of the old projects, too. So, yeah. I think that they did a really good job at bringing this video game to life, which is all you can really ask for. And I think that when you're talking about a movie like this, it's hard because, you know, there's so many Mario fans out there. We know a few of them. And I know for a fact that, like, they love this movie because it's, like, their childhood. And I understand that. I'm not fighting you on that either. I'm just simply looking at it as, like, as a movie. I feel like they could have made a better animated movie, like an animated mm-hmm. kids movie. Because you have movies like Soul, Turning Red. You have, like we said, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. So you have all of these deep, deep kids movies out there. And the Super Mario Brothers movie coming from Illumination, I just expected, like, them to really go deep into it. That being said, it's still a really good movie. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I'm not fighting anybody on it. You know, just the story was a little underwhelming for me. And I think that's just the biggest problem for it. But overall, I think that the success is warranted. You know, it's a good movie. It's a great movie. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't disagree with you. But the only thing I'm just going to give it a 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Just because that pacing thing to me, it bothered me. I watched it after my shift too, so like maybe yeah. I was a little pissed off or something. But
for me, I don't think it was the pacing that kind of. I mean, I understand what you're saying too with the fact that Mario just ends up in the Mushroom Kingdom, meets Toad. Oh, okay, yeah, I trust you, and then they go on their little adventure or whatever. That's fine. Like, you know, I don't know. I didn't really have a problem with it. I think the biggest thing was that, like, that Mario and Luigi relationship. You know, wanted more of that. But again, it's a Mario movie. They'll probably make a sequel. The sequel will probably be better, I think, because they have laid down this the groundwork for a good Mario movie. Now all they can do is really improve on it. Some of the stuff I liked, like I said, the animation was great. Illumination never they never disappoint on that part. I think that the music choices, again, some were a little obvious, you know, holding out for a hero while Mario is training. You know, that's a little obvious, but it's great for me. They play one of my favorite songs, Take On Me by Aha. So I love that. I love that part. They played Mr. Blue Sky, which gave me Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, which is coming out in a month. So thank you for that, Super Mario. And then Bowser, which his song to Peaches. Can I tell you right now, or to Peach, his song Peaches is actually eligible to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song, which is fucking fantastic. If Jack Black wins an Oscar, and it being for a fucking song that he's singing to a princess, that is hilarious. And that is completely on brand for Jack Black. So, yeah. I wanted to ask you about Chris Pratt because that was a huge worry. What do you think about Chris Pratt's performance in this? Really, Charlie Day's performance in this too. Basically, all the performances. All
right. So I was gonna actually. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think a few episodes I've talked about like not being worried about. Or have I talked about in the episodes?
Yeah, you definitely
have. Oh yeah, being worried that like Chris Pratt's voice wasn't gonna be like good enough for me, honestly, because I'm very picky about like voice acting. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch anime all the time. Like I watch cartoons. I watch a lot of shit. He did fine. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. It was just exactly what it needed to be, really.
Yeah.
Charlie Day, the same thing. I actually like Charlie Day's. I put him above Chris Pratt in the ranking.
Yeah, he does.
We're not going to talk about how... Like, you know who... Fucking Jack Black gave everything. Mm-hmm. That man, you could tell that man loves Mario. Mm-hmm. Because he went in on Bowser.
Even in the interviews, you know, he shows up wearing a Bowser-themed like suit. Literally the Bowser costume. He was on the Kelly Clarkson show for that, so.
Yeah. I think in second place, for like, he needs to get a little bit more respect for it. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. Mm-hmm. He does not speak like that, so. Like, bringing his voice that high.
Yeah.
And then doing the whole, like, you know, all the little Toad screams and stuff. Anya Taylor-Joy, I'd probably put her above Charlie Day and. Just because it's Princess Peach, I don't really remember what her voice sounds like. That
I don't know. It's just it just felt like Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't mind that one that much. When you have Donkey Kong sounding like Seth Rogen,
literally just Seth Rogen.
It's like he walked in, recorded everything on his phone, and walked out.
Like everybody's worry with how Chris Pratt was just gonna sound like Chris Pratt doing a Mario impression. That was literally Donkey Kong in this movie, except he wasn't doing a Donkey Kong impression. He was just Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
And it's annoying to me because he had the best intro in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out with the original DK rap.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Danny, but, you know, DK.
Right, yeah. Donkey Kong.
Yeah, don't get hyped up, Danny.
Yeah, shout out Danny, though. So, yeah, I don't know. There's stuff to like in this movie. Like, I really loved... We're going to get into, like, kind of spoilers right now, but I didn't really prepare anything for spoilers. I'm just going off the dome. You know, for example, the first, like, commercial that they show, and, like, you know, they're, Mario and Luigi are doing their little Italian accents, and then they play into that. Oh, do you think the accents were a little too much? No, it's fine. And I like that stuff, you know? I loved all the stuff that they did on Earth, when they were just in the customer's bathroom trying to fix the plumbing issue, and the dog was hilarious in that scene. I like all the stuff with the family. I guess Mario and Luigi in this universe are like 20 years old at that point, because they're still living with their entire family and they're starting a business. They're like in their 20s. So that's nice. You know, I don't see any problems with that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just... There's stuff to like about it. What are some stuff that you liked?
Well, we're going to talk... You know, I put music at, like, one of the highest things for movies.
Right.
You missed one of the best songs in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only for, like, 30 seconds, but Thunderstruck when they were designing the cars.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking beautiful. I actually put that in all caps because I took notes while I was watching this movie because mm-hmm. I've never watched a movie alone. It was terrifying. I don't know how you do it. I was so anxious. But, yeah, I watched the movie alone, and so I was just taking notes the entire
fucking
time.
Fucking loser.
One of my favorite like little scenes in the entire movie It was right before they used the superstar at the very end. Mm-hmm. And Luigi has a little flashback. The baby Luigi and baby Mario mm-hmm. looked exactly like they look in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And I love that little detail because it was like they're playable characters exactly like that.
Yeah.
Having, like I said, in the wedding, having all those guests and stuff. One thing that I thought was funny is no one just bats an eye when Princess Peach just murders somebody at a wedding.
Yeah.
Just like, all right. I know people didn't like that Princess Peach had, like, an actual character. Again, shut the fuck up. It's a movie.
Look, they did more than they needed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, Princess Peach started off as someone who needed to be saved.
Yeah.
In the beginning, like the very beginning, she needed to be saved. So, I mean, they did something with a character.
In the grand scheme of things, they end up saving Princess Peach from Bowser.
Yeah.
If that's what she really wanted. There's like little funny scenes with like Bowser turning one of the Koopas into dry bones. Just like little shit for like Mario Kart. But I want to talk about the carts. Mm-hmm. That was so fucking fresh the way they introduced it. Because mm-hmm. they didn't introduce it by just saying, oh, let's go racing.
Yeah.
Like they could have done. They could have mm-hmm. had an easy out and just gone like a racing scene. Mm-hmm. No, they had one of the the Kong Kingdom characters pick him up in a Mario Kart. Mm-hmm. And then like you see them heading towards this ramp. And like Mario has never been in a fucking cart before, so he's like, what's going on? And everyone who's played the game knew a fucking glider was going to pop out. Mm-hmm. But like having one of them eat a banana and just toss a banana peel wasn't like he was doing it on purpose. He was just tossing a banana peel. Mm-hmm. But it's that little reference to Mario Kart.
And it didn't feel forced either, yeah. Like the Mario Kart stuff. It felt like they actually needed to get into carts and go to wherever they needed to go.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things that I was happy with too. One thing I wasn't very happy with, I know they were in there, but they should have used a black Shy Guy, like all black Shy Guy.
Oh, yeah. You wanted the more? Did you see the Yoshis?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that was funny. And then, did you watch the last scene, the end credit scene?
No,
you didn't watch it.
No, Zuko was crying, man. I just was like,
okay. Oh, so you don't know?
No, tell me.
The very end credit scene is Yoshi.
Oh, okay.
It's his egg getting hatched, and he just goes, there's the whole Yoshi thing, and his like high-ass pitch voice, I can't do
Yoshi that. Will return in Avengers Infinity War. I think that they're leading to a... well, not leading to, but I feel like the possibility is definitely there for like a kind of cinematic universe for Nintendo, and then, you know, culminating in like a Super Smash Bros. Movie. I feel like they can definitely do that. And they took some elements from Smash Bros. A little bit in here. Just a little bit. Not that much. But I think they can do it.
I forgot about that. It was during the DK fight mm-hmm. where yeah. he like, gets knocked in the air and then you can see him like
yeah.
through the air.
Yeah. So, yeah, this movie is definitely a huge, like, you know, it took a lot of inspiration from the video game, obviously. But, like, they paid homage to, you know, all the little stuff. And that's something that I'm not going to complain about at all.
Yeah, they definitely use stuff from, like, all three games, Smash, like, the actual Super Mario Bros. Games. Mm-hmm. They also little, like, references to, like, Luigi's Mansion because he's, just, like, just terrified mm-hmm. the entire movie.
Yeah, the one scene where he's, like, what do you call it, running through the forest.
Yeah.
It was, like, a little jump scare scene, like a horror movie scene with the, what do you call those things?
Dry bones?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so... that was really cool. I don't know. I just, there's a lot of stuff to like in this movie. A lot.
Yeah.
So I understand.
I love when movies make me care about a character that means nothing towards the story. I love that shit.
Yeah.
The fucking baby star in the prison. Oh, I love that motherfucker so much.
So yeah, I think that there's definitely a lot of possibility for where they go in the sequels. I think that there's a lot of possibility for spinoffs and stuff like that. What's a Nintendo movie that you think would do well?
All right, you go ahead with what you think.
I think it's going to be Zelda. It. Number one, I've never played Zelda. Sorry. But I think that, you know, they can make a really good video game movie about it. Even if Link doesn't talk, I still think they can make a really good movie about it because, what was it, Breath of the Wild is one of, like, apparently one of the greatest games of all time. That could be really good basis for it. So I think that they have a lot of options. I really do want to see that Super Smash Bros. What do you call it? Movie, because that's actually one of the games that I did play a lot, And I would love to see that on screen. I know that they've been talking about a Metroid movie. You know, I know Star Fox is Sega, yeah. But Star Fox, that would be really amazing to see. Especially if you are going towards the route of Super Smash Bros., definitely got to get Star Fox in there. So, yeah, what about you?
If we're going to do Sega, too, I think, what's it called? That would definitely be the best, but mm-hmm. you also have, like, all the Samus stuff and things. I think they could actually do something really good with this because it's already shown to be, like, a successful thing when they build, like, animal universes. Mm-hmm. Just, like, a fucking Animal Crossing movie for kids.
Yeah, fuck it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing is great.
Animal Crossing, when it came out, didn't it come out, like, in the middle of fucking quarantine?
Yeah. And
that shit popped off. I remember that.
Yeah.
So, like, an Animal Crossing movie wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have to do anything really connected with the universe either. I also don't want them to make that.
They're making a Minecraft movie, bro, so you can make whatever the fuck you guys want.
I don't want them to make a universe for that shit.
No, I don't think it's even going to be a universe, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be, like, the Mario sequels, then they'll make whatever else. And then if they want to, they can make a Super Smash, you know?
Yeah.
If they want.
All right, so. Yeah. I had no issues with them doing whatever they want. They obviously now have the money to do it, so.
Yeah, man. So, final score for Super Mario Bros.
7 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm going to give it, like, an 8 out of 10, so.
It was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to watch it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll go lower or higher, though, for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 7 out of 10. It was a fun movie to watch. I would, if I had kids, I'd take my kids to watch it. But, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I have kids. Kid. And I took them there. So, yeah, I think that it was a good movie also. Could have done a little more, but then again, it's a Mario movie. So, like, who am I to even complain? Plus, I'm 22 years old. I'm not going to complain about a kid's movie not being, like, The Godfather. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I haven't even watched The Godfather. But, yeah. Anyways, that's our review on Super Mario Bros. Let us know what you guys' thoughts. You can connect with us on Instagram. You can connect with us in the Spotify app if you'd like. But, Hyder, we got some questions to ask before we get out of here, or answer before we get out of here. So, what do you say we just, you know, have a little chit-chat? I'm never going to say that again.
Yeah.
What do you think? Let's talk some movies.
All right, let's go.
Okay. First question, Moana 2016. They're getting a live action, but Tangled 2010 and Princess and the Frog 2009 are not. Why? That is a great question. I think that Tangled would be really good. I love Tangled. That's one of my favorite Disney movies. And Princess and the Frog as well. I think that that's also something that they'll probably do. I think they have it in works, actually, Princess and the Frog, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I would love to see those two get live-action remakes. They're going to fucking do live-action remakes until the day I die, so might as well, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I think, personally, Tangled would be one of the best ones to
mm-hmm.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to also understand that they've done this already.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to make the older movies. Like, if you remember, there was a Mulan live action that came out.
Yeah.
They're not always the best, so I think that's all they really want to do is put what they think is going to make them the most money. Because at the end of the day, as much as we all love this shit, as much as Disney, I'm sure they care about what they care about, it's a money grab.
Yeah. And they've done classic movies turned live action before, you know, like Cinderella. And like you said, it's about money. They're good movies, but they don't make a lot of money. So they're going after the stuff that they think is going to make the most money. Second question. Bigger foot size between the two hosts.
This is Chris, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
No. But.
I don't know. I got like a 9.5, man.
Yeah, I'm a 9.5. So I guess we're the same.
Yeah.
We're the same, you and I. All right. I can't believe we even answered that. Okay, thoughts on the 1993 Mario movie? I never seen it. I heard it's really bad, though.
It's really fucking bad, man.
When's the last time you watched it?
I watched it. Okay, so this is a very, like, distinctive memory for me. In my dad's truck in, like, 2006.
Wow.
And I just remember it being really shit. Because my dad had a VHS player in his, like, pickup truck. My dad drives semi-trucks, so, you know, I had to watch a lot of VHSs, like, when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I came across that once and just, like, left the movie 45 minutes in or something.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Everything I've seen about it looks really bad. Let me search this
up. Sorry.
Also, what's his name? John Leguizamo. He plays Luigi, right? In that. So he says that he's not even going to watch the new Mario movie because why can't they get people of Italian descent in there? I mean, he has a point. It's voice acting, though. that's what they're there to do, you know, like literally act.
Let me just show show you the fucking poster.
Yeah, I definitely saw that. It looks terrible. It looks terrible.
It actually, IMDb didn't score it that low. Yeah. But it got a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know. I know that it was a huge box office bomb, though. So.
Yeah, it made $38.9 million.
And then what was their budget?
$48
million. Yeah, so pretty fucking shit. All right, next question. Oppenheimer or Barbie? And I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm being dead serious. This is not just me hopping on a wave. Ever since they both got announced to be on the same day, I've always said that I'm going to go watch Barbie first.
Oh, yeah.
Easily Barbie. Which one's going to be the better movie? I don't fucking know. One's about like a doll. The other one's about, you know, the fucking guy who created the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. But I am personally more excited for Barbie.
I'm watching Barbie music.
I'm watching Barbie first. Yeah.
Music and color grading would look amazing.
Ryan
so.
Gosling too. I mean, like, come on, but dude.
Just Ryan Gosling. You got fucking Simu Liu in it. Like,
yeah.
I got fucking
Margot Robbie. Yeah, I'm definitely more excited for Barbie. Yeah. Next question: biggest guilty pleasure movies. Do you have any that comes off the top?
I've already said it. My biggest guilty pleasure movie is Kung Fu Hustle and like Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah. I think mine, just off the top of the head, I think would be like movies like We're the Millers. I can just throw that on anytime I want. Neighbors with Zac Efron and Seth Rogen. I think,
Kong?
Yeah, literally, bro. Zac Efron is like my favorite actor of all time. So,
actually, I got a movie for you. What? Avatar: The Last Airbender. 2010. All
right. So yeah, I got a bunch of guilty pleasure movies. What's one that like, honestly, guilty pleasure, Amazing Spider-Man 2, even though I hate that movie, every time it's on, I'll watch it. So, yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
If we're doing that, one of the only movies I can rewatch multiple times like and not really get tired of it is, Django Unchained. So, you know, if I'm really bored, I'll put on Django Unchained until I fucking think of something to watch.
Mm. You don't like the movie, though?
No, I do. It's a guilty pleasure? Sorry, my bad. No, I do like the movie a lot. Okay. If we're going guilty pleasure, fucking really shitty horror movies.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'll watch, like, really shitty horror movies until I get, like, sick of them.
Not Another Teen Movie is a really good one for me. I love Chris Evans in that. I don't care. That pooping scene, it's disgusting, but it's so funny at the same time. If you don't know, Not Another Teen Movie is, like, basically like Scary Movie, but think of like The Breakfast Club, He's All That, She's All That, stuff like that. So what is your favorite Matthew McConaughey, however you spell it, movie? Matthew McConaughey. That's what they
is it. Does he have to be the star in the movie?
No, I don't think so.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, he's in that. I love that movie.
I love his fucking character in that.
I haven't seen a lot of Matthew McConaughey movies, but I'm just going to go, obviously, Interstellar, my favorite of all time. And he was also in Wolf of Wall Street for a little bit. So those two movies pop up.
Gentleman is pretty good in that, too.
Oh, The Gentleman, bro. I love The Gentleman.
But, Matthew McConaughey. Oh, Dallas Buyers Club. I haven't ever watched it. Yet. It's pretty good.
Yeah. That's the one that Jared Leto won, like, supporting actor for.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of McConaughey stuff, but the ones that I did watch, I absolutely love, like Interstellar, Tropic Thunder. So,
Magic Mike?
I have not watched Magic Mike.
I haven't either.
Yeah. Are you lying?
No, I'm being serious. I really have not.
Okay, how well do you think the Evil Dead requel sequel will do opening weekend?
All right.
What else is coming out next to
Renfield?
Evil Dead? Yeah, Renfield. So it's sharing... It's sharing the weekend with another big like horror-ish movie. So I don't know how well it's going to do, but Evil Dead, it doesn't have like the last movie that they did was 2013, so it's been a while. And then they had Ash versus the Evil Dead on, what was it, Stars or something like that. It was like a series with Bruce Campbell coming back. So I don't know. I think it could be a huge box office weekend, box office opening. Could not. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a good movie either way. The trailer looks amazing. So,
yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. I get a lot of hate for this because I love horror movies. Never seen a single Evil Dead movie. Any of those. I didn't even know for like the longest time. Didn't even know it was like who they were directed by.
Wow.
Yep.
I haven't seen all of them, but the ones that I have seen, like the first Evil Dead, the Evil Dead remake, I think I've seen a little bit of Army of Darkness. All very good and very unique because Sam Raimi obviously directed them. So,
but I've seen that the actors in it, like post TikToks all the time of them voice acting for some certain stuff or like them just like reading over lines. Mm-hmm. It sounds very good.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I think it'll be either big or small. That's what she said. I think it's going to be a good movie either way. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts about the music choices for the Mario movie? I mean, if you want to just take that one, we kind of talked about it a little bit before, but
I like that they didn't get hung up on movies, which are on songs, which is a lot of movies have an issue with, is they'll play a song for too long. It shouldn't take away from the movie. It should only highlight certain things. So like playing, like you said, Mr. Blue Sky, right when the alarm clock turned on, which is like perfect. And then transitioning sound effects into like the intro song at the credit roll. Also, they apparently used over 100 versions of Mario songs in that movie.
I saw that, yeah. The composer, yeah.
Really cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, just obviously, you know, I just said it right now. They used over 130 different Mario songs in the fucking movie. So they did it perfectly. They didn't want it to be done. Yeah, it was just, it was good score. It was actually a really great score, in my opinion. But, yeah, they did what they needed to do.
I think that, again, like I said, they used songs that were, like, the obvious choice. So, like, Holding Out for a Hero. They played that during the training montage. And I don't know, it felt like songs like that, they're still very great songs and they were used appropriately. I just think that like some of them were a bit on the nose, like it too obvious of a choice, you know? But yeah. Next question. What's your favorite so bad that it's good movie? We talked about it on the podcast. For me, it's The Last Airbender. It's so bad. It's not good. But it's just so bad. I think one of the so bad, so good movies. Let's see, man. Probably should have thought about this before I
answered. I like thinking about things off the top of my head.
Why'd you look at me like that when you said that?
I don't know.
It was a little weird. Yeah. So bad, so good. Scary movie. I'll put that up there. That's a it's so bad that like it's supposed to be bad, so then that's what makes it good.
Oh, this is an easy answer for me. Cat in the Hat.
Oh,
okay. I forgot about that until just now. Yeah. The Cat in the Hat, Master of Disguise, movies like that.
Yeah, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
With Jim Carrey.
Uh-huh.
Get the fuck out of my face. That's a great movie.
So bad that is good. Yeah,
it's a fucking great movie.
Okay. Next question. Will you guys cover the HBO Harry Potter series when it comes out? Yeah, if we're still doing this in 5 years when, you know, they're coming out with that stuff, sure. Again, I haven't watched the Harry Potter movies, so that will be new for me, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like that's more up my alley, though. I like to watch series, and especially since it's something I read about and I've watched before.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm pretty sure I'll probably be taking over, like, Percy Jackson stuff, because I don't think you've read the Percy Jackson books.
I've read, like, the first three. Yeah. I mean,
but like,
are we really going to talk about Percy Jackson when it comes out?
Well, no, I'm just going to, like, after the season comes out.
Yeah, man. That's all the questions we got. Thank you guys for submitting your questions to us. We will, if you guys want to just do that every week, we'll just take, like, last 10 minutes of the podcast or whatever to answer any questions. You got anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know how we're going to do it, but I will try to watch both all the Evil Dead movies, which I'm very...
That comes out next week, right?
17th. That would be... 17th?
Not 17th. Like that weekend, though.
It comes out in a few days.
Oh, this Thursday, huh?
Yeah. Dude, this Thursday or Wednesday. They've been having Wednesday premieres for movies recently.
Yeah. So let's see. Evil Dead Rise. That actually comes out on the 21st.
Oh, what the hell? They pushed it back? I swear it came out the same week as Renfield.
No. It's probably Renfield alone. So in that case, I mean, I guess Evil Dead Rise is going to be very good for the weekend if they're not going up against Renfield. So.
All right.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys, for listening. Again, you can send us questions if you guys want to on our Instagram at the Playback Podcast. We check that every time. I'm very active on there, so go ahead and talk to us there. We also have, let's see, what's up? Next week is going to be Renfield, so stay tuned for that. That's the Dracula, Nicholas Holt, Nicholas Cage movie with Awkwafina in there as well. So stay tuned for that. I know Hyder's pretty excited about that one.
I feel like there's another movie coming out, though.
Probably, yeah.
I have the
Pope's Exorcist, maybe. Tripping.
I have it right here.
Okay, what is it?
Yeah, no. It's Suzume and the Pope's Exorcist. That's the other movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, probably just going to be talking about Renfield, honestly.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys are following the podcast. We're going to be doing this every single week for the rest of the year. We got a bunch of great movies coming out. We have Guardians of the Galaxy. What is that? How many days is that? We have to...
I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks from now.
Yeah. We have to start a countdown for the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 release because I'm so excited for that. What movie are you looking forward to for the entire year? For the rest of the year? You got movies like The Flash coming out. I know.
Blue Beetle.
Really? Out of everything?
Just because I want to see what they do with it.
Okay.
And then, you know, I watched Teen Justice.
Not even like Across the Spider-Verse?
Well, I know it's going to do good. That's why.
Well, we're not talking about doing good.
Oh, okay. What movie am I most excited for?
Yeah, that was the question.
I'm not really thinking out far ahead right now.
Okay.
Probably Guardians of the Galaxy 3 right now.
Yeah, me too. For sure it's going to be Guardians. And then after that, it's going to pivot to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And then after that, it's going to pivot to Barbie. And, you know, we got a lot of good movies coming out. So
actually, wait, the Marvels.
Really?
It's going to be good or bad. And I'm kind of excited for it because I'm hoping it's really good.
But the most excited is the question. Yeah. You're the most excited. The
Marvels. All right. I forgot it was coming out this year. All
right. Trailer comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. You sent me the little teaser to it.
So I don't know. If you guys are following the podcast, maybe we'll do like a quick trailer reaction to that. Possibly. If not, then we're not. So yeah.
Just don't expect anything from me.
Yeah. Anyways. We appreciate you guys listening. Stay tuned for episode 9 next week when we talk about Renfield. And we'll see you guys later.
Good night, guys.